doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know. But no, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him, cause he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, got a picture connects. Never asking for someone's help, but to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote. His will is beyond reach, and now it all unfolds. The skill of an artist. This is 20% skill, 80% gear.
Welcome back in the zone. It is 12:07. Justin Akre, Matt Stell.
Here.
We welcome to the studio Big Willie Klein, Big Joe Klein, and Chris Kromlis.
Brought in the heavy hitter.
That's big. I like it.
Big man.
Someday, perhaps you can be as accomplished a tweeter as your father is, Will. Just maybe.
I'm not very good at it.
After game six and after inappropriate comments, Roy Hibbert sent a tweet of apology to Jason Collins. After last night's performance, Roy Hibbert sent a tweet of apology to Joe Klein for his embarrassment of all big men everywhere. But he did come back, actually, and have a better second half. Joe, welcome back. Good to see you.
I can't hear you.
Got yourself lucky. There are thousands of people over the country who wish they could.
It's the best you've heard. It's the best you've sounded since I've been up here.
How about now?
Yeah, now it's back to being what it was.
You can't hear me?
No, I can hear you.
It's
bad now.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
I can hear you.
It's hurtful. Chris Kromlis, been a while. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, man. Good, good.
I don't know if you follow Joe Klein on Twitter, but you should. He's really good.
No. I'm not very good. I don't do it enough.
I actually I quoted one of your tweets earlier. I thought you had the tweet of the night last night.
What was it?
We were mostly making smart aleck comments about things that Roy Hibbert would say. Like, or we directed comments to him all night. We called him Hibbertisms and said stuff like, what are you going to do, lay down all night? And, you know, things that he shouldn't say. And then, you know, the hashtag, what that would be, but we're not going to get into it because
yes,
Will's here.
Will's here.
Yes.
Thank you.
But your best one was, and I'll have to look through it, you were really active last night. Joe, you're really good.
But it might have been my most active night.
It probably was, ever.
Started tweeting?
Tweeting, yes.
Yes.
When it's all said and done, it's a great battle, great war, but one team has weapon of mass destruction and one doesn't, and that's the end of the story.
That's pretty much the way it is.
LeBron James is better than everyone else.
Bad man.
And when Dwayne Wade is like 70% like he was last night, which is better than 50% Dwayne Wade, they're just good enough to win pretty easily.
And then a few turnovers never hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when you're turning it over like that, when you've got 28 field goals for the game – and 21 turnovers, that's a problem.
Yes, it is. And Roy Hibbert had more turnovers than field goals in the first half.
Right.
So that was not good. Right. David West had 6 turnovers, I believe, in the game.
I thought Spoelstra did a great thing. I mean, he came at them hard. I mean, they hadn't done that for 6 games. They'd soft doubled them. They'd dig down or do some things that – but, I mean, last night they came there with the idea of getting the ball out of their hands and turning them into passers, and they showed that, you know, they struggled with it.
Must have been something he saw on the tape, because he's really good at breaking down tape.
He should be. He's an NBA coach.
I know. There's that. I don't know. Spoelstra.
That's his background.
Did you hear him? They asked him how he motivated Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh before the game. Here's what he said.
They really took it upon themselves to.
Of course they did. They took it upon themselves.
That whole thing to me, I mean, it always was about those two guys. It had nothing to do with the offense. It had nothing to do with touches. It had everything to do with their mindset. And they came out and they were aggressive. You know, they took shots. They missed shots. They drove to the basket and made bad decisions. But, you know, when you're talented as Dwayne Wade is, 3/4 of the time, if you're aggressive, something good's going to happen because you're a high caliber ball player. So, at the end of the day, I mean, him not being aggressive, I mean, that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the whole key. And even Bosh, even early on, he wasn't, you know, as confident a shooter as he should have been. I mean, he was dribbling in and taking step back fadeaways and driving in and being hesitant when he attacked Hibbert. And those are things that, you know, you just got to let it go. I mean,
yeah.
And I, you know, and again, it's the mental part of basketball that you can't predict, you know, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those two guys were, you know, it's like Dwayne Wade said after the game, when you don't see the ball going through the hole, you know, it affects you, whether you like to admit it or not.
Right.
And so, but it was good to see him aggressive, because if he's not that way for seven games in this with these next boys, they're going to have trouble.
What happened with Paul George? Do you think it was just the defense that they played on him?
Yeah.
He didn't really look comfortable.
Well, and again, I think they really struggle because, again, Hill is a good point guard, but they don't have a guy like Wade and LeBron aren't technically your point guard, but even Chalmers, I mean, they just don't have a guy that can break you down. You know what I'm saying? Hill is kind of more of a catch and shoot. I mean, he has really, when the pressure got up on him last night, he can't split the double team or get around and kind of freelance. You know what I'm saying? Now, he's a good defender. I mean, he's a really good point guard. Obviously, he's, you know, leading a team to the seventh game of the Eastern Conference Finals, so you don't want to slight him in any way. But I think when you look at the problems with turnovers all year long, I think when the Heat's turned up or the trap on the double team or the pick and roll comes, he just doesn't have that next level superstar point guard ability, or maybe he lacks a little bit of maturity that he'll do better next year and able to read it, you know, get into the lane and make a play. And I think that really showed. I think that really hurts George, you know, because they can kind of stay at home on him. They can put a lot of attention on him and not really worry about Hill getting in the lane and breaking them down.
Roy Hibbert had some very good moments on the court, had a couple of bad moments off the court in the post-game press conference. What's your overall impression of him, and has he risen to the level of the second-best center in the league now?
He's a handful. You know, I mean, he's a guy that, as you saw last night, you know, he proved – now, again, you're playing against a team that doesn't have a – center.
True
doesn't center,
have right?
a Marc Gasol or somebody in there, but he showed that in order to be effective in stopping Indiana, you have to send two guys to him. And so just that being said, he's definitely elevated his game. I mean, I was sitting here trying to think, and, you know, I like Gasol the best, but I can't really think of anybody who's really head and shoulders better than him. This year, you know, I mean, Howard is a talent, but, you know, he's in a bit of a funk right now. I think, hands down, if he's right between the ears, it's a no-brainer. He's the best center in the league, but he's struggled a little bit with the mental part here lately.
He even admitted that it's all mental with him. He actually lost. I don't know if you saw the video going around. I don't know why he agreed to this. I guess because he's – I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he has no pride or if he's just trying to look – he's trying to endear himself. Anyway, T.J. Simers, who's an L.A. sports writer – challenged him to a free throw contest against his daughter, she's an LA housewife, I guess. So he did agree to shoot left-handed to try to even the playing field, but she ends up beating him in a free throw contest. And then he told him afterwards that, and Simers was giving it to him. It was pretty funny. But he did say that he thinks a lot of it's mental. Now, going forward, I saw a Kobe interview today. You know, I guess the question becomes, how effective can it be? And I don't know if anybody can answer that. We'll just have to wait and see. Certainly he's committed to coming back and trying to get healthy and get ready for the season opener, but Howard is still he may be a bigger question mark than Kobe's Achilles going forward.
I mean, and then you throw in D'Antoni's system,
yeah.
And I mean, it's you know, it just doesn't look like it's a match made in heaven. And again, you know, to be an elite player, I think Shaq was, you know, was different, but I mean, the inability to make free throws and you're a post up back to back. Back to the back inside player late in the game. I mean, it's hard to be an elite guy when it's hard to say you're an elite guy when at the end of the game, if you're on the floor, they want you to have the ball so they can foul you and give you a wide open 15 footer that you can't make.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I mean, so I don't know. I mean, that I don't know that he's the type of I think he's a, you know, second or third wheel. I mean, he cannot – I just – with his makeup and his inability to make free throws, I can't see him I think what he did in Orlando, he got a lot of credit for. But, you know, that's when they had Turkoglu and they had – and Stan Van Gundy's an incredible coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I just don't – I don't know that he's the type of guy – that's like a Kobe or a LeBron that can say, hey, hop on my back, guys. I'll get you there. I don't see it, mm-hmm. you know. I just think mentally I'm not saying he's weak, but he doesn't have that, like Bird and all them. I mean, if you were laying down on the ground, you know, and you're their opponent, I mean, they just as soon step on your throat as – you know, and I don't think that he has that killer, I want to be the best. It bothers me, you know, like Kobe and them, when they lose, it eats them alive. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has that, which is okay. A lot of people don't have it. I mean, it's not his makeup. But if you're going to be in L.A. and they're going to pay you $125 million and they're going to put your face out front, you better have that, mm-hmm. because if you don't, they're gonna chew you up and kill you, and you better be able to take the heat because you're gonna get it.
Yeah,
and I don't know that he can do that either.
Take the heat, literally and figuratively. question for you from Matt Jones of our staff: Brooke Lopez, where do you put him?
I like him. I mean, I think he's I think you see it in Brooklyn. I mean, that's what he is. You put him out there with two good players. Mm-hmm. He's a great complimentary player. I mean, I think he's he can play really well off of other guys. And I think if you put him in Miami instead of Bosch, I think he can do everything. I think he's kind of like Chris Bosch.
Yeah.
I think he can play off of LeBron and D-Wade, hits open jump shots. If he doesn't get double team in the post, you know, because they're staying home, he can effectively maneuver. He runs good. He's a good athlete. I mean, I think he's definitely in the discussion of being a top five guy.
This story has not been verified, but actually Matty T brought this to our attention yesterday. We talked about it a little bit. But apparently, or the story was, that Floyd Mayweather, who has never been afraid to make outlandish bets, bet $5.9 million on the Heat to beat the Pacers in Game 7. Now, he just made about 10 times that in a pay-per-view, so I don't know if he's too worried about losing any money, but... He, you know, he's made some big bets.
Was there a spread or points or what?
I don't know if he took it straight up or what the deal was. And again, it hasn't been verified, but.
No, he couldn't get that straight up.
Well, he probably could, but he would have to bet like $5.9 million to win $1 million or something, probably.
Oh, okay.
He'd have to give some serious odds up. But it says if Mayweather did make the bet on the Heat and he won, he'd earn a profit of $6.49 million. So he must have given the points. And the line was 7. So he covered.
So he made a profit? Oh, was it 7?
Yeah, it was like 7.
I said that last night. I didn't even know.
Yeah, that's about what you said. You like Miami by 7. That's what I was going to
say. I just want everybody to know I wasn't calling my bookie or anything.
No, but that was the Vegas number, and they covered easily.
I don't have a bookie.
I think they won each half by 7, so it was they were all good. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. So, your boy.
So he bet 5.9, and he made $500,000.
No. They're saying if he bet against the spread, he would have won six whatever. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the bet was, but
wow.
We'll see more on that later. He's made bet. If he didn't, he hasn't tweeted the picture of his
money. He did that. What, was that the
yeah.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. So he's not afraid to do that. Okay, so now we talk finals. And the question came up earlier. First of all, two things we learned today. Or one thing we learned and one thing we had
a
question
a
about. Yes, exactly. One thing was, how many All-Stars will be on the floor when you count coaches and everybody else? How many All-Stars?
Wait, Hall of Famers.
I mean, Hall of Famers, yes. How many Hall of Famers are on the floor in the NBA Finals this year between San Antonio and Miami?
We got San Antonio's 3.
Who's their 3?
Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan.
So Ginobili's a Hall of Famer?
Yep, I think so.
And Popovich?
And Popovich.
Okay, so they get 4.
Yep. I think the 3 for Miami and Ray Allen.
You think Bosch?
I think in time.
Okay.
I mean, I think Chris Bosch is going to be a solid, really solid player for 10 more years. I mean, I think he's a great player. I mean, he just he's been stinking it up right now, but I think a lot of that was the matchup. It was a terrible matchup for him.
Yeah.
So I think he'll play good in the finals.
Who does he guard in the finals?
Well, they don't start. He'll start on Duncan. I mean, I wouldn't put Haslam on. Well, I would. Yeah, I wouldn't put Haslam on Duncan.
Do you think Bonner will play a lot this series? Just stretch those forwards out. I'm calling him. He's a center, I guess, but he's just a big.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a wild card. I mean, again, you get into that offensive defensive thing. You know, if Miami can't exploit him defensively, then I think he'll play a lot because he'll you got to stay at home on him. It'll open the lanes for Parker. I think Parker's got a huge advantage. So, I mean, I would be. Again, you know, it's just like Hibbert. The reason why last year Hibbert didn't play is because they didn't go to him. You know, this year they go to him all the time. He's averaging 24 points a game, and he's a problem. So if Bonner's guarding Bosch and they don't attack Bonner, you know, then you're kind of – he's getting to play for free. You know, you're not taking advantage of his inadequacies.
Yeah.
So – is deficiencies.
Deficiencies,
that's
yeah.
That's a little better word.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys like that. Miller, Battier.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of – I mean, it's going to be neat to watch because there's a lot of different ways both guys can go. I think San Antonio's a little deeper, a little better overall. But, again, they don't have
– I haven't seen the Vegas numbers. And the series, of course, home court is Miami, so I don't know who – has the advantage in Vegas. I'll be curious to see what the line looks like, but I guess it's got to
be shocked if Miami wasn't
favored just because of the home court. Yeah, I would think so too, but yeah. I bet it'll be pretty close.
Cold, Will? Say something. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
All right.
How old is Will now?
How old are you?
12.
Wow. It's a good age.
Who's going to win the finals, Will?
Heat.
The Heat? How many games?
Six.
Okay. Right. What do you say?
Seven.
Heat in seven?
I think it's going to be very similar to the series you just saw. But I think the seventh game is going to be one for all time.
Okay.
Because I don't think San Antonio will fold, you know, and have the problems that because of Parker, I think they'll be able to.
Who's healthier between Parker and Wade? That's the question I want to answer.
I think Parker is.
Okay.
Had a month off, right?
Yeah. they played 13 games.
He's been eating crepes.
Played in March.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
crepes and reading existential. Never mind.
He was over.
It's a 5.5 point.
I think we all know what Tony Parker's been doing. Okay, he was married to Ava Longoria for a while. He's probably still looking around at photos of her from when they were married. If he's smart,
perhaps he is. I think he's got a new old lady.
A new old lady?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Until you are not married.
Yeah. Bachelor.
He's been around the streets of Tony Parker, so he knows all the details.
Tony Parker.
Excel Francine.
That's how Tony Parker talks.
That is how he talks.
Imagine if you and I said that right now.
Old lady? Yeah, be cool. She'd be like, yeah, that's cool. My old man has a place on the couch.
It would be cool. It'd be real cool.
Cold.
A new old lady. Yep, that's a good one.
It'd be real cool.
So you say... San Antonio loses in seven.
Get me to the end of the show.
Okay, think about it. Let's bring Chris Cromwell in here, and we'll talk some entertainment stuff in a minute here. Hi, Chris.
Hey, man,
What's up, man?
This is good. What is this?
That is the chicken pesto flatbread.
That's my favorite thing.
Man, that is one of our best. That is a great, great deal right there.
I think the world needs more peace, love, and